Vivadin Spread is the founder of Metitude. They're an organization providing executive coaching and leadership consultation. Excited to have you on. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks very much, Jude. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, indeed. Well, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so in my personal life, I'm a grandfather and a father, of course, and a partner. And my work is probably the biggest part of my life, apart from family. But in my spare time, I breed cattle. So further south of here, I've got access to 100 acres, and on that I have a herd of Brahman cows, and I cross a Murray Grey bull over them for the Greyman to provide bulls for our northern herd and hard country.
I've never had anybody on the show that does that. So like that is pretty cool. Is that family? Is there somehow family in the cattle business?
It's just something if I hadn't done what I've done in the past, I'd probably be a farmer. In fact, not probably, it's my third attempt. And so this is, and my third and final. And it's, I'm loving it. I love animals. It's a good break away from humans. There's a lot of similarity. Animals and humans, we're all animals, really.
At some level, I always love exploring, where the Venn diagram happens there, dealing with executives, dealing with cattle. There's got to be some crossover there somewhere.
Yes, the similarity, and also the, and I love the, they've all got personality, they've all got character, they all have a soul. And so, we work with that. And they are very receptive. They are very receptive. They can pick up nuances in our own moods and respond accordingly. Probably a little bit more sensitive than humans are. To one another.
I saw somewhere on the internet that you are an expert in dealing with difficult people, and so I imagine that maps over there as well, because not everybody in the office is going to be a joy to be around, and probably not all the animals in the herd are going to be easy to deal with either.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And the best way to deal with them is with kindness. Same with the human. And so difficult people don't actually mean to be difficult. There's always a reason, and what we have to do is discover the reason and then work with that. And it's normally a belief system that they've inherited or acquired, and we deal with that, help them to broaden their belief, to shift it.
Is that always been obvious to you that you need to deal with kindness when you're dealing with a difficult person? I think that probably a lot of the people that you deal with, and you've certainly observed over the course of your career, don't want to deal with kindness at all. They're interested in, hitting them over the head with a stick.
Yeah, there's only the small group of people who are narcissists and psychopaths or sociopaths. They're the only ones who fit the, kindness doesn't work. They'll take advantage of it. But they're only a small percentage. They're not the majority. Majority of difficult people have a belief system that makes them defend themselves. And so we quickly work that out. And I profile them as well. I get them to do a particular profile that measures their behavior and communication style, their drivers, and their emotional intelligence. And in that, that's a 60-page document, very thorough. And we can really, and it's an 85 to 95% accurate, which is enough for our purpose. And so that gives us a good benchmark and a good beginning, and then we explore that. And they don't, no one comes to work to say, today I'm going to be an asshole. They don't do that. They get triggered and then they behave. Or they're triggered when they come to work. So that's the way in which I approach it. And it does work. It does work.
So that certainly makes sense. No, nobody shows up to their office and say, today I'm going to be a real terrible human being to deal with. Everybody's going to hate me. It's not that. It is that I'm there, something happens, and then I just go back into my patterning with my belief system that I respond aggressively when met with this, or I just, whatever it is. This is just my playbook. This is how I operate.
And they're acting on automatic, not on manual. And so that's one of the things that we work on is thinking on manual, not on automatic. And I have a little game that I play that shows them the difference. And I'll play that with you if you
Love that.
like. So how do you spell the word silk, as in silk shirt?
Silk.
Are you certain?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, okay, so quickly, what do cows drink?
Milk.
Really?
Nice.
And
Water.
so it doesn't take long. I mean, see, the brain wants to save energy. The brain doesn't want to be right, it wants to save energy. And so it will go down the path that I led you down, asking to spell that word silk. And so if we, and so you are, you, as much as you, even though you paused, you still said milk. That's the extent to which we go on to manual, or say stay on automatic. So now that you know the secret, and that is to pause, and to think about your thought before you act on the thought, we'll play the game again. So, different word, of course. So, how do you spell shop, as in retail therapy?
Shop.
Again? How do you,
Shop.
okay, what do you do when you come to a green light?
Well, this time I'll get that one right. So, but yeah, you go.
So 50% of the people say stop after, in the game, showing that it's thinking on automatic is pretty much hardwired into us. And really, I'm asking people to have that pause and think about the thought before you act on it. And it's very tempting. I mean, I'm sure you wanted to say go
Yes.
or stop. You wanted to say stop.
Yes.
And you had to struggle not to say it. I could see that. I could see you doing it. But that shows us, doesn't it? How easy it is to be on automatic. And that's what the brain wants to do. It wants to save money, save energy, so it'll take the easiest path, the path of least resistance.
I would guess that we're probably more on auto than we ever have been as human beings, just because we're dealing with so much input all the time.
Yeah, it's a struggle to stay present. And that's the real, really being present, being really present, being in the moment. It takes a lot of energy, and we are trying to save energy. And so we go into automatic as soon as we can. It's easier.
Now, when you're coming into an organization, are you working with everyone, or are you specifically not singling out, you're working with an individual? Say, hey, listen, we as human beings tend to just want to be operating on automatic. You see, I just did it right there. So it's a function of these are great tools that we can use to start to slow down, but then also, how are you encouraging people to go in and rewire, if that's an appropriate term, or just explore those belief systems?
Yeah, I have a process called attitudinal competence. If you Google attitudinal competence, you'll discover that I'm the one that the search engines throw up. And I designed that method of training for attitude in my past military background, law enforcement and another agency, where I specialized in running covert operations and being a covert operator and training covert operators. And we had to, because we were adopting a different persona undercover, we had to make sure that we were strong in that space and didn't default to our automatic name and behavior. And so we had to learn how to do that. An attitudinal competence actually is your ability to choose your best attitude for what's happening right now and not be a victim of habitual attitudes, which is again being on automatic. And so that is the core foundation skill that precedes everything that I do with my clients. And I work primarily with the leadership team, the senior leadership team, and then going in dealing with difficult people that they haven't been able to deal with. But often the leaders themselves are the difficult people.
I
So,
could.
they're habitual as well, They're all human.
We're all only human. So you said best possible. Did you say that on purpose, or is that not ideal? It's not just the perfect one. It's let's find the best possible attitude based on what's going on.
Yeah, your attitude. We're all individuals. And so you know what your best attitude is towards anything when you're thinking about it. But habitually, you might have a different attitude. For instance, if, have you got kids?
I do.
Got children?
Yes.
So have you ever noticed how closely you resemble your parents when you deal with them?
Yes.
Yeah, that's habitual. And now, unless you had terrible parents and you'd make your mind up that you'll never be like them, and even then, you'll discover when you're actually triggered that you'll behave like one of them in their worst way, because you were impregnated with that, embedded.
That's
So, and
fascinating.
we're all dealing with it, and so we bring it all to work. And if we're in leadership, then we have a big impact on our people as a leader. And if we're running on automatic with childhood belief systems that have morphed as we've aged and experienced the world, and we're not correcting them, then what kind of a leader are we really being? And so that's where I work. And it's really about attitudes, behaviors, and conversations, the ABC of leadership. And I focus on that because that's how you lead, with attitudes, with behaviors, and with conversations. And so that's the nitty-gritty of it. And I don't believe anyone that I know in the game is doing it the way I do it.
Well, it's a framework that makes a lot of sense. I'm at least somewhat understanding it, so you're doing a good job of explaining it. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, right, somewhere in the middle. This idea of bring your whole self to work, and when I go to work, I should be able to be exactly as I am. That's sort of a school of thought or an idea. I love that a lot of this what you're talking about, you developed working as an undercover operative and understanding that I am needing to be a totally different person that is unrecognizable to that other version so that I don't get found out. So it's almost as though I'm, instead of me bringing my whole self to work, I am me, but it's a different bit of a persona, and I need to be showing up in the best possible way professionally. There's a question in there
Yes,
somewhere, David.
and yes, no, I understand. I don't fully agree with the idea of bringing your whole self to work, because your whole self has the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are required to be professional. We are working in a team, and we are producing results, and we're interacting with customers. And they need to see the good side of us, not the bad and not the ugly. And so, and in any event, we're all of us wear a mask of some sort. And so that mask is there to portray an image and to protect ourselves. And we've been wearing that mask since we were about seven. And it's changed shape. You know, it has a few dints in it, a few holes in it. But that's what humans are like. That's what we're like. And so if we're going to be professional, if we want to be the best version of ourselves, then we need to know what that is. And we need to know what is the best version of oneself in this theater that I'm acting in. Shakespeare had it. He said it quite well. He said, "The whole world's a stage, and we're all actors on it." And so, which means that we wear different masks for different situations. So, which mask are we wearing when we're being a team member, a follower, or a leader, or a parent, or a friend? And we show those sides of us. So when we're doing it automatically, that's when we have problems. Unless it's beneficial. So, you know, I mean, you look at the world now, look at the leaders that we've got globally, and you can see the ones that stand out for being what they are. Very few statesmen there. It's quite a different world, and we're all paying the price.
Well, that is beautifully broken down right there. The Shakespeare, all the world's stage, we're merely the players on it, and just appreciating all of that and how easy it is to operate automatically and how clear it is when you look at somebody who you can tell right away in that frame when somebody is acting automatically versus manually, and the difference between a statesman and not is pretty clear based on that.
Yep, I totally get it. Yeah, absolutely. And really, so the interesting thing is that we're all capable of being the best version of ourselves. It just takes concentration, being present, being thoughtful, breathing, using breath as a means of staying present. Being conscious of your breathing, how you're breathing. Are you oxygenating that brain? Or are you stressed and they're denying it oxygen by shallow breathing or even holding your breath in stress? You know, so that those are, all of those things impact on our behavior. And if you're a leader moving into a stressful situation, you need to breathe. And so, you know, that's the practice. So it's a physical thing as well as a mental thing.
Do you think that
And
we
it
just
makes a
like
big
to,
difference.
yeah? Do you think that we human beings like to ignore the physical part of our bodies and would if they were to really pay attention, like, oh my gosh, I barely breathe when I'm stressed out, because that's probably a lot of people.
100%. And it's, we take it for granted, and it's all on automatic. And so the body responds in stress. The body does certain things on its own without you having to think about it. Your peripheral vision focuses in, you get tunnel vision. Blood goes to the extremities, hands and feet, flight or flight. Your breathing becomes shallow. And so now denying oxygen to the brain. The brain uses more oxygen than any other part of the body. And you're dumping adrenaline or cortisol, depending how long you've been stressed for. And all of that impacts on your behavior and your judgment and your ability to manage your mood and your emotions. And so, and we've all been in those spaces. We've all known when we've lost it, you know. And we hadn't made a good decision, or we shouldn't have said that, you know. Oh, I shouldn't have spoken to him like that. It was too harsh. But it's automatic. And again, that comes out of our primary beliefs, the ones that we grew up with and still have. And so if we want to be the best version of ourselves as a leader, we're going to take all of that into account and have a process, and learn the habits that go with being the best version of yourself. And you know, it's quite simple to break down. If you look at every problem that a human has in conflict or error, it's caused by only three things: fear, habits that don't work, and ignorance. And we all suffer from that. And every time you've made an error, or I've made an error, or had a conflict, one or more of those three components has been at play. And so if we know that those are the three root causes of all human conflict and error, and even if you look at Iran, look at the world, the errors and the conflicts, and look at the extent to which we know there's ignorance there, we know there's fear there, we know there are habits there, and they're the cause. And so, and habits, belief is habit. It's a habit of meaning. And so if we know that those are the three root causes, then we know what the three remedies are: courage to deal with fear, better practice to deal with the habit, and learning, in fact, constant learning to deal with the ignorance. And that's how we resolve it. So I'm encouraging my clients, instead of doing a, you know, who caused this, what's the cause? And they look at it at a very superficial level on the machine broke. Well, hang on, the machine broke because a human didn't look after it properly. You know, and why didn't it? Was it fatigue? Was it carelessness? Was it faulty choices? Whatever. It always, everything boils down, if it's human, it's fear, habits, and ignorance. And if we as leaders look for that instead of looking at what hits the eye only, and then we know we can apply courage, we can apply better practice, and we can apply learning. So there's remedies for all of these things that are human. But we can't stop the sun from shining, and nor can we stop the rain. They're outside of our control. In fact, the only thing we can control are our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own words, and our own actions. That's the only control we got. The rest is influence or force. And so if you're going to be a leader, you've got to use power, not force. And the power comes from within. And it comes from the manner in which you deploy your values and being the best version of yourself. And so all my clients, we always end up with a, they have to write in detail what is the best version of themselves. What does that look like? Now, we don't do that at the beginning. We do that halfway through, if you like, and then we spend the rest of our time acquiring the habits of the best version. And that's practice, that's a lifelong journey. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time and I'm still learning.
It's a story of
There
commitment for
is,
sure.
yeah, and I want to get better. And I will, because I'm at it. I work at it.
Well, you've given us a lot of really powerful things to chew on today, David. I really appreciate it. Where can people
It's
learn
my
more?
pleasure.
How can people interact with you? How can they get in touch?
There's two ways. Go to LinkedIn. I'm the only David Deanspread on the planet, which is, thank God for the rest of humanity. Or they can go to my website, which is meditude.com. So all they have to do is get the spelling of my name right and they'll find me.
We'll be
No
able
longer
to.
am I hidden.
You are no longer hidden. You are easy to find. Excellent.
I am indeed. Yeah, I am indeed.
Well, if you enjoyed the, and just so everybody knows, David is in Australia and he's I'm I started this call at noon and he started this call at 3 a.m. So credit to
Three
him.
thirty, 3:30.
3:30 in the morning. Yeah, that's exactly right. 3:30 in the morning. So all credit to him for making the commitment to join us today. So if you enjoyed it as much as I did, please do share the show with somebody else who appreciates really good ideas. And certainly for all those people who are struggling with difficult people in their lives. And so I suppose that's probably all of us. But you can learn more about David on LinkedIn, just David Dean Spread, DeanSpread. And then his company is Metitude, MetitUDE.com. This is all so many wonderful practical things that we can all take and apply in our lives and just be more thoughtful about when it is that we're on automatic versus manual and trying to move more to that manual side as much as possible so that you don't tell people that cows drink milk. Although it's not clear to me, David, that they don't, because I don't know. If you gave a cow milk, would they drink it?
It'd be interesting. I don't know. I've never done that, but I know calves do. But that's now using logic to justify it. But
Yes. Yeah.
I
Well, thank.
think they'd prefer water.
I think that
It's
that's probably true. Well, thank you again, David.
my pleasure, George. Thank you very much for having me.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.